everyone. Welcome to Comedy History 101. We hope everyone is safe and well. We have a special two-part episode for you today on the history of the Texas Outlaw Comedians, which fostered the comedy of Bill Hicks and Sam Kennison. Today, on part one, we're going to dive into the history of the Bill Hicks origin story and how he came about at this legendary Texas comedy club. And before we jump into the episode, take some time to like, subscribe, comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Last.fm, etc. And we will actually read your comments on the air. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Right now, we have coming to the stage not only one of Houston's best comics, but one of the best comics you'll see anywhere in the country. He's been on the David Letterman Show. He's going to be on again real soon. Would you please welcome funny man, creative, original Bill Hicks.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome to the first annual Houston Outlaw Comedy Special. I hope you're here to see the show, not just waiting for traffic to die down before you finish that trek to the suburbs. Houston comics have learned to love Houston. We learn to love it because we travel all over the country. We've been to places like Oklahoma. You learn to appreciate Houston after you've been to Oklahoma. You learn to appreciate things you normally do.
So what you heard there was a young Bill Hicks performing in Houston, Texas in 1985. And yes, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I, of course, am a quarantine Harmon Leon. With me, of course, is a quarantine Scott Colonico. How are you, Scott?
I'm wearing a mask, Harmon. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can, but it sounds like you're just simply putting your hands over the microphone.
That's my newest mask. Yes, it works. It filters out all the COVID-19 particles.
Or it's a creative new filter you can find in GarageBand called COVID-19.
Or for those people working in the tech community out there, the in joke is that it sounds like a Jira card number.
And we laughed and laughed and laughed. But Scott, would those working in the tech community laugh as much as, say, mid-80s Houston comedy fans laughing at a group called the Texas Outlaw Comics?
I think they might. I mean, I think they might because, you know, it was kind of like the Wild West back there in the mid-80s in Houston where things were rolling and things were crazy. That's interesting that you played that 1985 clip because that was literally the height of the boom in Houston, because like the very next year was when everything all just like, you know, kind of came to a screeching halt there because of oil prices and stuff.
So what you're saying in that era of the 80s was kind of similar to what 3 weeks ago in 2020
exactly,
was like.
Exactly. Everything was all crazy and wild.
Come to a scratching halt.
You could actually go to the bar and order a drink. Look at me.
You could go down to Skinny Dennis and dance to a honky tonk band.
You
could
go to the Brian. I'm in the Brian Jonestown bar in Berlin. Play a song and play some Berlin things for me. Yeah. So, yeah. But it was pretty crazy. I mean, cause I think that's the thing that people don't really get because Houston was always kind of wild. Speaking as a somebody who grew up in Houston,
Houstonian,
who grew up in Houston at the time, it was just like, you know, because oil was on a boom and everybody was making a lot of money. It was Reagan years, and so people had a lot of money to throw around. And this was a time. This was the comedy boom, you know.
Yeah. So Scott, when you hear the word or title Texas Outlaw Comics, what comes to mind then?
Well, the first thing that I'm going to think of would be Sam Kennison, but as I think we'll show on in this podcast, he's actually not the founder of the Texas Outlaws.
Yeah, so I guess to bring everyone up to speed, which we do because we are the host of this podcast and we are here to provide information on the history of comedy. The Texas Outlaw Comics were a group of comedians that were formed at the Comedy Workshop, a comedy club in Houston, roughly around the mid-80s. And it consists of the most famous people that were members of the Texas Outlaw Comics were Sam Kennison and Bill Hicks, who, Scott,
yes,
I'll go on to say, are comedy legends.
Yeah, they're pretty big. Yeah, pretty good. But it also featured a lot of other guys who continued to perform comedy for a long time. Steve Epstein was actually the kind of founder, the guy who trademarked the name Texas Comedy Outlaws, Texas Outlaw Comics, excuse me. He actually trademarked that name. We'll get into that a little bit later. But there are other
guys. Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
There
one.
Are other guys. I'm just going to name everybody who was in there. There was other comedians. There was Carl LeBove, Riley Barber, Dan Merriman, a guy named John Farnetti, and another gentleman by the name of Jimmy Pineapple. And these guys all had their own kind of different backgrounds and styles of comedy, but they were thrown together at this one time in the mid to late 80s at a place called the Comedy Workshop in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, most particularly, though, I thought these were two different comedy clubs, but it was the Comedy Annex, which was, a smaller room at the Comedy Workshop. Am I correct on that one?
I'm not really quite sure how that worked. Maybe it was like the big room and the small room in the comedy store. I'm not really sure, yeah. I think they just had one room, though.
Yeah, I thought it was two separate clubs, but then I did some Google and said the Comedy Annex was part of the Comedy Workshop.
Yeah, I think it was yeah.
I think it was like a room off from the main room, much like you have at, say, the Velveeta Room in Austin. Mm-hmm. They have Esther's Follies, and then they had the Velveeta Room. So, the comedy store. You have the main room, and then you have, like, the belly room.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, I think it's, like, a lot of clubs like that. Like, another one is, like, now called Cap City Comedy, but this is, like, where these guys used to play in Austin was called the Laugh Stop. There's one in Houston, too. And there was, like, the main room, and then you had, like, a little smaller room.
Yeah, so essentially, this was, like, the original members of the Texas Outlaw Comics. There were six of them. Original members, and they were kind of just a group of Houston comedians that formed kind of an incubator of like-minded comedy. And it's really strange. Like, I saw one of these very, very early clips of Bill Hicks, and in a way and in style, he's doing like a bitter breakup type story, and he kind of had like a Sam Kennison-esque in his delivery. And, not to say... Well, as Picasso said, stealing from one source is plagiarism, stealing from many is originality. Right. So, again, it was like an incubator of like-minded comedians that formed together. And, in that incubator was, both Bill Hicks and Sam Kennison.
Did y'all pay to get in here? Because I do not believe you should pay for anything in the world whatsoever. I believe the price of life is death, and we will all pay that in full. Everything else should be a gift. Everything should be a gift. I would like someone to explain to me how it is that my parents fucked one day and suddenly I'm getting phone bills. How does that work? My parents fuck, I pay rent. Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, they were all kind of together at that one particular moment in history, which I think makes it really interesting. I mean, you had different guys. I mean, there was, I know for example, John Farnetti, who was one of the Outlaw Comics, was a lawyer.
Also a lawyer, yep.
Yeah, he was a lawyer.
Yeah, I was just about to say
and
that.
And he was a lawyer, and he was married, and he had a kid. He had like a two-year-old kid, so he was kind of weird. I mean, not weird, just different than your normal, 20-something whatever comedian.
Are you saying Outlaws can't have kids? Are they lone rangers?
I just corrected myself.
yeah.
And then you had the other guys, like Ron Schock, who was one of the other outlaw. He didn't start till he was 40.
And I believe he's still, Ron Schock, I believe, is still performing to this day. I saw him perform in... No, he's not.
He's performing.
Passed away.
He's performing elsewhere, Harmon.
But I did see Ron Schock perform in San Francisco, and he was like a storyteller comedian.
Yeah, he was like a storyteller.
Also a crazy interesting guy, because his background included being a jewel thief, a car thief, doing a stint in prison, but also being like on the board of directors of a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting background. Yeah.
So yeah. So again, if you're a storyteller comedian and that's your background, you kind of got some stories to tell.
He told some stories. His big thing was he would kind of he would read a lot of stories out of the newspaper, but he would find these really ridiculous stories in the newspaper, like little one paragraph stories or something, and then just elaborate on them. So that was
like a Mort Saul type thing.
Exactly, yeah, but like more of like a down homey Mort Saul, because he was from the South somewhere. I can't remember exactly. I don't know if he was native Texan or not, but he had like, you know, a pretty nice Southern accent and just a drawl,
right?
Just the way he would tell the stories, like you said, a storyteller. Just, you know, he would have his own pace. And like that was kind of one of his big acts. He would kind of pull up these newspaper clippings and kind of construct a story around them.
Yeah, so founder of the Texas Outlaw comedian, Steve Epstein, said, just kind of given the ethos of the group, was we're looking for people who speak their minds, whose comedy comes from themselves, the people who aren't interested in selling out.
Right, yeah. They wanted everybody to hang out with them as long as you had your own original voice.
Yeah, and again, if you follow, we'll do two separate podcasts on this, on, you know, just generally the history of Bill Hicks and the history of Sam Kennison. But firmly, both Bill Hicks and Sam Kennison, you know, found their true comedic voices by being members of the Texas Outlaw Comedians.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would not argue with that.
So, and let's give, and again, we'll do a completely separate podcast on that, but I'll give like a brief little history of, you know, Bill Hicks and how he came to, you know, being at the Comedy Workshop. So Hicks grew up in Houston in the 1970s. This is something I found out today. His dad was an executive at General Motors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, his dad was kind of like a white-collar guy, and he grew up kind of, he says the suburbs, but he grew up in the suburbs in Houston in the 70s, where suburbs were, let's put it this way, they could ride their bikes to the comedy club, so it wasn't that far away.
Oh, really? But, okay, so they didn't ride their bikes to the comedy club, because Bill Hicks grew up with another comedian, Dwight Slade. They were kind of suburban buddies together, and they both, as teenagers, started doing stand-up comedy, I believe when they were like 14.
Yeah, they would ride their bikes to the
club. No. Their buddy would come pick them up. They would sneak out of their houses, and when the comedy workshop opened, they started like sneaking out on school nights so they could do open mic in downtown Houston.
I'll tell you my school career in a nutshell. Third grade, teacher leaves the room for 5 minutes. Some guy starts throwing around a pair of scissors, playing keep away, you know? That's a lot of fun. They come to me, I throw them, they go in some guy's eyes and blind him for life. God, Hicks, what are you, a psycho?
Right, but sometimes they would ride their bikes there. I mean, they were that quote, close, unquote.
Yeah, then why did they have to have their buddy come pick them up?
Well, sometimes they would do that, too. I mean, like, if he, I don't know, I guess he wasn't around. I mean, it wasn't, I think there we're talking about 5 to 10 miles.
Oh, okay.
Which on a bike is nothing, you know. It's not like, because I grew up when I would say the real suburbs of Houston, where that was like a good 20 miles away. Mm. From the city, and that's not something you could ride your bike.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And just size-wise, is Houston bigger than Dallas or vice versa?
And Houston's like the third or fourth largest city in the United States. And I think just land spread out, Houston's just really, really spread out. But the odd thing is all the places that we'll be talking about in this podcast, in this episode, like where he grew up, the downtown where they live, the Houston House Apartments and the comedy club and the comedy workshop, they're all quote unquote, I'll keep using that, quote unquote, fairly close.
Sure.
In Texas terms, yeah. You know, they were all within like kind of the downtown area of Houston. So like really nothing you could walk, but nothing it wasn't more than a, you know,
it was like a Texas mile.
Houston, Texas mile.
Everything's
bigger
in Texas. It was a Texas
everything's
mile.
Bigger in Texas, man.
But, oh, yeah, you just put on your cowboy boots and mosey on over to the comedy club.
Mosey on down to the corral and watch out, partner.
And sign up to do your 5 minutes of open mic comedy. Yeehaw!
Yeah, I mean, if they had a car from where he grew up to the comedy, you know, comedy clubs was like, you know, if you had a car, it's like a under 20-minute drive, and with a bike, you know, maybe what, an hour. So, you know, when you're...
Yeah, but most particularly that comedy club was the comedy workshop. And again, that was suddenly opened up, you know, at a time when there wasn't any other comedy clubs. Like Bill Hicks and Dwight Slade, they would do like kind of comedy. They call it like guerrilla comedy, like at their high school. They would just like pop up and do like sketches for people.
Pop-up comedy, dude, in their hipster food truck.
Yeah, this is before the hipster food truck. So they started, like, sneaking out of, like, their houses to do open mic when they're 16, and they were, like, a double act. So,
right.
But then Dwight Slade's family moved to Oregon. And that also, like, Dwight Slade's dad was an executive at Shell Oil. So it's like, yeah, they were kind of, like, in the upscale, you don't call it suburbs, but, you know... kind of area. Though they said it was.
Well, let's see. I think I might know somebody else whose dad was an executive at Shell Oil, but we weren't in the good suburbs.
You mean one has two thumbs and hosts a comedy podcast?
Yes.
But what was really funny is like when so his buddy Dwight Slade moved away, and that's when I think Hicks just sort of not really quit comedy. But he got more into, like, doing music than stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Dwight moved away, and, like, he's still doing comedy. You know, he's still kind of...
I've done shows with him in San Francisco.
Have you? How was
it? It was all right. You know, nice guy.
Nice guy.
You've seen the documentary American, the Bill Hicks story, or...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So he's a big figure, talking head in that documentary. Mm-hmm. Though, style-wise, It's a little dated because it's that style of taking still photos and making them 3D. You know, that was kind of big for in the early
2010s.
Yeah. So, but you know, good documentary. It was like good comedy stories.
Oh yeah, it was good. It was good, and it was interesting that it was done by two British guys.
Oh yeah, yeah, because Bill Hicks was bigger in the UK than he was in the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, anyways, Hicks finally decided to go solo with his stand-up. He moved to L.A., and him and Dwight Slade were roommates, and they started writing, like, screenplays together. And that's kind of where Hicks sort of got his comedy chops, you know. He was, like, 22, and he already had, like, 7 years of comedy under his belt. You know, kind of, again, like stories we've told here on Comedy History 101 of, like, you know, Eddie Murphy, you know, just doing the comedy rooms around the boroughs when he was, like, you know, 17, and, you know, same with, like, you know, say, Dave Chappelle, you know, just these crazy teenage comics that, you know, when, by the time they were 22, they already had, like, you know, almost a decade under, you know, of comedy.
Yeah, well, we've got that clip, and we'll put it on the website, comedyhistory101.com. It's Hicks getting interviewed by a Houston news crew. I think he's 23 in the clip, mm-hmm. and he's already been on David Letterman a couple times.
I actually went on stage at a church talent show at church camp when I was 13 years old, and did Richard Pryor material. Yeah, I was demon possessed, in their eyes. But I started off then, and then I was interested in comedy real early on, and this is like 1977, I guess, 76. And then the club started popping up all over the country, because I remember watching as a kid, watching Comics on Carson, and that's when he started having them on like every week and then every night.
Why did they start popping up all over the country?
Well, I think it's because, my own opinion is, comedy is the last bastion of free speech. You get to see on stage at a comedy club someone calling a spade, not any network censorship, you know, and this is when it's good. I'm not saying it's all like that by any stretch of the imagination. You get your share of hacks, of course, in any booming business, you're going to get the leeches and bootlickers, you know. But for me, it is something you go to see where you can't see anywhere else. Not even when you see a comic on television, can you see him really do his stuff? You don't ever see Richard Pryor on network TV doing his stand-up act. Now, if you come into a club, you can see a guy, no holds barred, doing anything, you know? And a lot of people abuse that, and they do old dirty jokes, or the people come to see dirty jokes. I don't really believe that. But when it's good, you get to see people, freedom of speech, different ideas, different opinions, and done humorously.
So when Hicks was living in L.A., cutting his chops at the Comedy Store, he was kind of like considered like the clean-cut comic. He was like the kid clean-cut comic. His material was about like his family and growing up in suburbia, you know. So, but what really kind of was a game changer was Bill Hicks and Dwight Slade. They wrote a screenplay. And then they got the interest of a William Morris agent who said, I like it, but I think you should work on it. And they didn't sell the screenplay. So Bill Hicks just went and he moved back to Houston.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I mean, we'll get into this more into the when we do the actual Bill Hicks podcast.
Well, you can get into it now. And then we can just like...
But what was... Because I'd never heard about that. What was the... Because we'll post... Again... We'll insert a clip here, or we'll put it on the website. That sitcom, that weird sitcom with Jeff Altman, about the Banana Republic.
No.
You put it in the document. What was that? Did you watch any of that?
No.
Burka.
Who was in that?
Dude, Bill Hicks, dude. You put it in the document. Like I'd never heard about.
I didn't see. I must have heard something random. But I didn't. Yeah, no. Tell me about that. So Bill Hicks was on a sitcom with Jeff Altman.
Yeah. So this must have been. It's from 1982. Let me find. Wow. What was the name of it, dude? Yeah. What was? You didn't watch?
No. I've never even heard of it.
Oh, Bulba. Did you see? So did you watch any of that?
I don't know. Was it as good as Curry and Chips?
No. It was a sitcom. Let's see, I don't know. You can edit it around.
Yeah,
this,
sure.
But it was a sitcom about this fictitious, like Banana Republic, mm-hmm. you know, in the Caribbean. And Bill Hicks played a Marine guard. It's from 1981.
Oh, so
holy shit!
Must have
been like right when he moved out to L.A. And he that's kind of mm-hmm. doing okay. He got into this pilot that didn't get made into a series, but you know Jeff Altman was on there, and I don't think that I'd recognize anybody else on there. But it's called Bulba. It's on YouTube.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah. So Scott, so Bill Hicks, he was a bit delusioned about L.A. and the stand-up life out there. He moves back to Houston. What happens?
Comes back to Houston, starts going back to the comedy. Well, for a while, he wanted to live the straight and narrow path, so he decided to start going to school, to university. And he was living with a young woman at the time. They were dating, and then he wound up moving in with her and her parents, like, and kind of becoming buddies with her parents, uh-huh. too. And he was trying to do the going to school, going to University of Houston, and doing that whole thing. And then just at one point, he said the story was at one point the comedy workshop called him up and they're like, hey, somebody dropped out. Can you come and sub for them? And he was like, yeah, okay, I'll be there. He's like, college done. And he's like, yep, I never went back.
Holy shit. So he was like sort of like a drug addict where the drug is comedy. Did he completely quit comedy at that point?
Yeah, he just stopped. He stopped. He wanted to be like straight, normal dude.
Right.
He'd actually talked about being a preacher. You know?
Oh, wow. Which brings us, which is ironic and parallel to the next outlaw we talk about, Sam Kennison. But anyways, so what was a big game changer was not only did he really find his voice, and what found his voice was a little thing called psychedelics.
Well, I mean, what are you talking about, Bill or
Bill
Sam, or both?
Bill, yeah, yeah. So, and again, it's like they both have kind of parallel lives where, you know, Bill Hicks had his first drink when he came back and started performing again at the Comedy Workshop. You know, the story was he never drank before. And I think he goes to one of the fellow Texas Comedy Outlaws, like, what's a drink that people normally drink? And he says, a margarita. And then so Bill went to the bar. He says, I'll have 7 margaritas. and he downs all of them. And then when he went on stage, he kind of metamorphosed. Like, all kind of his bitterness and angry and edge started coming out on stage, you know? Kind of in a, there's also, like, a parallel to the Richard Pryor origin story where, you know, Richard Pryor was also a clean-cut comedian, you know, opened up in Las Vegas and then just had an epiphany on stage that and quit comedy and moved to Oakland and, you know, started hanging out with the Black Panthers and that kind of, you know, shaped into the modern Richard Pryor that we know of. And this was also, you know, coming back to Houston and kind of started doing mushrooms and we're not condoning heavy drinking, but it was like sort of the drinking and the mushrooms kind of unleashed kind of the bitterness and edge and angriness that was underneath, you know, his former clean-cut persona.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same to bring that point up is it's kind of the same thing with Sam Kinison, because even his brother said the same thing. It's like Sam was just, he would just like go to the club and chug Pepsis, and then all of a sudden
at 25
he was a preacher. Yeah, and then all of a sudden he was, you know, he was doing comedy, and then all of a sudden he was like, all right, well, let me have some beers, and then, oh, let me have some pot, oh, let me have some of that cocaine, you know, then they start getting into it.
So that's a good jumping off point, and we'll return next week with part 2 of the Texas Outlaw Comedians with the Sam Kennison origin story. Woo! And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott,
what events
you doing from your home that you would like to plug?
From my home? Well, not from my home as much, but as people here have been listening to, I wrote and directed a movie. Harmon also co-wrote it with me and produced a movie, a short documentary called Betrayal, which was going to be premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival this month, but it also is going to be premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival this month. They're going to be doing a special online screening. So head over to the Tribeca Film Festival, tribecafilm.com site to find out more. I believe that's going to be in about 2 weeks. I think it's going to be on May 12th or 13th, on the 14th. Yeah, so you guys can check that out. You know, I don't know if they're going to sell tickets or online tickets. I don't know that quite how that's going to work. But please go over there and check it out. And then as always, I don't even know how that's going to work, dude. Who knows how anything's
going to work? No, I was laughing, Scott. Like, they should do the Tribeca Film Festival via Zoom. So, it's, and now we... It's time for Betrayal.
We should make that movie, dude.
Wait, what's that God, pin that was... to the screen? Just to clue you in, we had an incident lately with the live stream of our comedy show Jokey Okey, where some trolls pinned some pornography to our main screen, which we could not take down. So beware of the trolls.
And then also, as always, Harmon and I do another podcast called This is the President, where we delve into all things historical with current U.S. presidents, past and present, from Trump to FDR, all the way back to as far as you want to go. Well, not yet, but as long as they have audio clips, we'll play them. Also, we have a brand spanking new YouTube channel called This is the President. Head over there. Go check it out. We'll do a podcast. We'll put up a video. You can check it out. Watch some videos. It looks great. Thanks.
Yeah, here, here. And what I have to plug is also something that Scott is involved with. Next Wednesday, April 8th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Scott and I will be putting on a show that we have toured around the world called Jokioki, stand-up comedy, karaoke, and a three-round game show. We'll be doing it via Zoom, or we'll be doing it via Twitch. We are not going to give you the link, because we had a trolley incident that happened last time. But you know what? Our learning curve has gone up immensely, so that won't happen again.
Oh, dear heavens.
No, it's a fun show, so Scott and I will be co-hosting it together, and it's like we said, we get like five of the funniest comedians in not only New York, now we can get we got comedians from San Francisco and Los Angeles.
And you can join, our listeners can join.
Yeah,
you.
So I guess I'll put that link or more information.
No, don't put the link.
You don't get the link. We can't trust you. You might know a troll. So I'll put it on facebook.com/tailnyc. You can get more information on that. But it'll be next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So with that, thanks a lot for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.